I will admit I was very, very sorely tempted as I walked down the hall to come to this meeting today. One of the parallel meetings that's occurring right now down two doors is wedding cake tasting. And as delightful as you all are, and that was a big temptation for me. I'm grateful to be here, and I'm also grateful to see at least three that I can see immediately, members of the State Board of Education. They serve in a very difficult and thankless position in many respects. They have districts that are bigger than state Senate districts by about double. They represent thousands of people and thousands of students, and they work tirelessly, all of them, all 15. They are committed to a vision of change, to which I am also committed for education in Utah, and I would like to at least spend a couple of minutes outlining that. I only have one data point that I'll come to in a minute, but I think it's a galvanizing point. We are committed to a data-driven decision-making process. Often we make decisions because it's politically expedient, because we have a gut instinct, or something else. I have a board, and we are shifting our office to become truly data-driven. As a result of that, as we sit here today and over the next 4 or 5 weeks, we will have an extremely good sense of where our students are in terms of being prepared and proficient to succeed in the modern economy. We will have 2 years of SAGE data under our belts. We will evaluate the efficacy of SAGE testing. We will also, however, evaluate the results of that testing to ascertain exactly where we are in terms of performance as a state. I believe we already know, and I'll come to that in a moment. It's critical that we are committed to data-driven decision-making that is predicated on actual results we see from students in our classrooms based on at least some level of commonality so that we know what we're getting for all of that investment of funding we saw. One of the critical aspects of my job that I think is a game changer is to recognize that we in education must change the conversation that we're having. It is not enough, in my estimation, to articulate a general need for more funding in education. It is not enough to articulate the same old tired statistic that we're 51st in the nation in per pupil expenditure. Actually, only 50th this year. I found out we beat out Idaho. There is no virtue in rising higher on that list, and there is no particular vice in being low on it. It's simply a measure of input variables, and it's one input variable, and that's all. The critical shift that we must see in education is an emphasis on output variables. If we're 51st in the nation, so be it in funding. It's being 27th in the nation in student performance that concerns me, because we can be so much better. And so the single data point I want to leave with you is this. As we sit here today, thousands of students will be marching across graduation stages last week, even today, the next week. Our best statistic on them is from the 2014 ACT test that every single one of those graduating seniors took. As they march across those stages, only 1 in 4 of the graduating seniors are fully prepared to succeed in college. 1 in 4. That cannot stand. Whatever we do about funding, whatever we do about taxes, whatever we do about everything else, we must galvanize action to say that cannot That will not stand. I think that's a natural way to change the conversation then about funding, because it's not about increasing per pupil funding as some sort of abstract exercise. It's about doing some of the things that Mr. Headley spoke about recognizing that we have places in this state, charter schools and ordinary district schools, that are knocking it out of the park. And it's about systematically reviewing what they're doing and thinking about ways to scale that up, thinking creatively about funding to incentivize change and to incentivize production and to incentivize innovation. It's about looking at a system that has served us very well, as Senator Stevenson recognized. We have among the most equitable distribution systems in the entire country. However, that system was designed during the period from about 1968 to 1972, and it was designed for the class that began education in 1971 or 72, which happens to be my class, the high school class of 1984. It's predicated largely on calculating seat time. It no longer has explanatory force in a world in which we have charter schools, online education, and so many other variables. It's exciting to think about engaging in a discussion to rethink that. Not that it was bad, but it has reached the end of its useful life in many ways. We know we have to change education for the benefit of our kids. As I think about that, I have a quote that's on the mirror in my bedroom at home as I tie my tie every morning that has a quote from Chris Christensen. Chris Christensen is one of the granddaddy professors at the Harvard Business School. He was one of the developers of the CASE method. In fact, we have the C. Roland Christensen Center up at the University of Utah Business School that's named after him. He spoke about what it means to teach, and he said this: faith is the most essential ingredient in good teaching practice. From a Harvard Business School, by the way, he was a quant, so a numbers person. Faith is the most essential ingredient in good teaching practice. Faith in the fundamental worth of our vocation, in the values that govern our relations with individual students and classes, and in the likelihood that at least some of the results we desire will be achieved. I would suggest, ladies and gentlemen, that the single most important change in public education can be effectuated immediately, and it doesn't cost anything. And it is to have faith. Faith that we can change this very big, very complex system in a way that benefits our kids. Faith that our kids can, in fact, achieve every child in our system, not just some. And faith that we actually can, by thought, by work, by reason, find our way out of the present situation we're in. We can and must demand better of ourselves. I'm grateful to work with a school board that is demanding more of me and demanding more of my staff. I'm grateful to work with legislators who are engaged in that work. And I have faith that gleams brightly that we can achieve greatness in our state for our students. Thank you.